Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, November 6th. I'm Abby Larico. As the St. Louis area Boeing workers' strike drags into its fourth month, many workers are still holding out for a better contract. St. Louis Public Radio's Olivia Mizell has been following the strike and checked in with workers on the picket line earlier this week.
I'm not going to walk away for a substandard deal or an insulting deal to sell out my own kids.
An update on where the strike stands coming up after this news on The Gateway. A detainee in custody at the St. Louis City Justice Center died Tuesday night after suffering a medical emergency. St. Louis Public Radio's Lucretia Wimley is following this.
Police say the unidentified man was in his 50s. Medical staff tried performing life-saving measures before the man was taken to a local hospital where he was pronounced dead. Police say there were no obvious signs of trauma, but that the investigation is still in its early stages. Officials from the St. Louis Division of Corrections offered condolences to the man's family and loved ones. They say they are cooperating with the ongoing police investigation and acknowledge that any loss of life in custody is deeply serious. At least 21 people have died in custody at the city jail since 2020. The jail has been plagued by internal issues and controversy for years, although recent leaders have aimed to improve conditions at the facility. I'm Lucretia Wembley, St. Louis Public Radio.
The head of St. Louis Lambert International Airport says she will retire next year. Airport Director Rhonda Hamnabrighi announced yesterday she plans to retire in the fall of 2026. She's run the airport since 2010, when she was appointed by then-Mayor Francis Slay. In a statement, Hamnabrighi says she believes she'll be leaving the airport in a better place than she found it. The announcement comes just a month after the news that Lambert will add direct flights to London starting next April, and amid the highest passenger counts the airport has seen since the early 2000s. More than 100 Caldi's workers, community members, and supporters from several local unions gathered for a rally in front of the coffee company's roastery yesterday. Workers from 8 St. Louis area Caldi's coffee locations publicly announced their campaign to form a union, citing poor work conditions and low pay. Ward 7 Alderwoman Alicia Saunier says she plans to introduce a resolution Friday that affirms the Board of Aldermen's support for the right of Caldi's Coffee employees to organize.
So anytime any workers in the city of St. Louis reach out to me and ask me if I can support their efforts to organize, I'm going to always do that because I think that organizing is a right that every worker should absolutely have, unquestionably.
Company officials could not immediately be reached for comment. Missouri leaders applied for a share of $50 billion in federal funding aimed at helping keep rural hospitals open. As St. Louis Public Radio Sarah Fenton reports, the Rural Health Transformation Program was created under the One Big Beautiful Bill Act.
Legislators wrote the fund into the spending bill after critics raised alarms cuts to Medicaid could be catastrophic for struggling rural hospitals. The program allows states to submit plans to the federal government for how they would use the funds. Missouri's proposal calls for creating a regional network of pharmacies, providers, and public health agencies. The state would also improve telehealth services. If approved, the program could send approximately $200 to $250 million to the state annually over the program's five-year span, according to estimates from the Missouri Department of Social Services. Governor Mike Kehoe said in a letter accompanying the application, he would support a new law to expand the scope of practice for physician assistants, dental hygienists, and other providers. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
40 new affordable housing units in Alton are now open. State and local leaders, along with the developers, say the new complex, called the Community of Sunnybrook, is complete and all but one unit is filled. There's a waiting list. Alton Mayor David Goen says the townhomes help fill the need for affordable housing in the Metro East town.
This is the step where people can actually come in and live in a nice home, and maybe this will be the stepping stone to being able to afford their own single-family residence in the future. But what a great start.
Former Edwardsville School Superintendent Ed Hightower and the not-for-profit Laborers Home Development Corporation co-developed Sunnybrook. State funds covered nearly 19 of the $20 million cost to build it. Plans for a grocery store in the small Metro East town of Venice are moving forward. The town is considered a food desert, with the closest grocery right now miles away in Granite City. Town officials, economic developers, and Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker broke ground on the project yesterday. The city received nearly $2.5 million in state grants to help pay for the development. That's more than half the total cost. City leaders believe the grocery store will not only provide fresh produce to a town that needs it, but will also anchor a broader revitalization effort when completed next summer. While on his Metro East tour yesterday, Governor Pritzker said whether or not the state redraws its political maps will depend on what Indiana does. St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports.
The second-term Democrat says Illinois should only act to counteract another state, like California reacting to Texas.
We're watching what Indiana does. We may have to react to that. It's certainly something that people have considered here and the legislature has considered here, but we'll have to see what happens.
Pritzker says he doesn't think mid-decade redistricting is a good idea, but it may be needed to offset Republican-led states. Illinois' maps are already some of the most gerrymandered in the country. Indiana lawmakers are scheduled to redistrict in a session next month. Pritzker did not provide a potential timeline for the Illinois General Assembly. In Alton, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Kirkwood's electric utility rates will be higher than Ameren's for the first time in years. Kirkwood is somewhat unique in the St. Louis region in that it owns its own electric utility. Mayor Liz Gibbons says the 14.8% rate increase is needed in part because a 12-year infrastructure upgrade project went over budget.
And we're always plugging our phones in. We've got electric cars that need to be plugged in. There's just a lot of use of electric, and we needed to upgrade our infrastructure in order to handle today's living style.
Next year, Kirkwood will have owned its electric utility for 125 years. Other cities in Missouri also have their own electric utilities, including Rolla and Hannibal. St. Louis City SC's new sporting director says better communication is the key to winning more matches. Communication not just on the pitch, but also when it comes to scouting and developing players. Corey Ray held his first press conference at Energizer Park yesterday, and St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin was there.
Corey Ray's Major League Soccer resume includes high-level jobs with Toronto FC and the Columbus Crew, winning three MLS championships and an Executive of the Year award. Ray says his first tasks in St. Louis will be to add pieces to the roster and improve communication within the club's front office.
We need to improve maybe some of the expertise in the sporting leadership. I'm not going to be able to make this a powerhouse by myself. The second thing is to kind of redefine or relook at how we're scouting players. There's probably a gap there.
Also high on the to-do list, hiring a new coach. City finished last 2 years in a row after surprising the league by winning its conference in the club's first season. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis area Boeing machinists have been on strike since August 4th. The local union members recently rejected a contract from the company for the fourth time, but it was by the narrowest margin so far, 51 to 49%. St. Louis Public Radio's Olivia Mizell has been following the strike. She sat down with STLPR's Brian Moline to discuss where it stands entering month four.
So, Olivia, union members narrowly voted down the company's most recent contract proposal on October 26th. Why?
So many of the union members on the picket line that I spoke to before the vote said they were voting no because the offer was too similar to the previous one. The contract attempted to address union members' concerns by adding a year of pay raises for top-paid employees, but subtracted from attendance bonuses. The company has said it will not add money to its offers, but it will move money into different areas to try to address the union's demands. This offer was consistent with that messaging. Washington University professor and labor expert Jake Rosenfeld told me the close vote indicates that there's a good number of members who are ready to return to work and may be willing to make some concessions that they weren't willing to at the beginning of the strike. However, that doesn't mean that they would return to work happily.
You know, I think you can interpret that 51-49 vote that the 49 voting for the contract, many of them aren't super excited about the contract terms. What they're voting for is to return to work.
And Olivia, what's been happening since that vote?
Right after the vote, the union submitted a modified contract offer to the company. The union said in a statement that this offer took the past union proposed offer from September and made some concessions with the 401k proposal to attempt to get closer to a deal. The company rejected that offer without a counter. This led the union to submit its second unfair labor practice charge against Boeing. The first complaint was submitted before the October 26th vote. However, due to the ongoing federal government shutdown, it's likely that nothing will happen with these until government activity resumes. In response to the result of the vote, Boeing official Steve Parker sent a message to employees saying the company is accelerating its efforts to hire replacements for striking workers and said explicitly for the first time that I can recall that striking employees may be displaced. He also said the company is welcoming back those who choose to cross the picket line. The two parties have not held any negotiation meetings since the vote, and it's not clear when the next one will be.
So this strike is now entering its fourth month. How would you characterize morale on the picket line?
It's definitely a mixed bag. These workers are tired, they're making almost nothing in strike pay, and they've lost their health insurance. However, many of the people that I've talked to, despite their exhaustion, are still standing strong on the fact that they refuse to accept what they call an insulting offer. Union member Larry Kerwicki says even though he plans to retire soon, he is holding out for his son, who also works for Boeing.
I'm not going to walk away for a substandard deal or an insulting deal to sell out my own kids.
Whether this mentality will beat the exhaustion at the next vote remains to be seen, but I do think as the strike has continued, a lot of the members have gotten angrier and more determined to wait for a better deal.
And do you have any sense of what's coming next?
So about a month ago, a union member told me he thinks they'll be striking until Thanksgiving. It's becoming increasingly plausible that this might be the case or even longer than that, but things have been changing fast in this strike. There will often be no new developments for weeks, and then in a matter of days, there's a new contract being voted on, so it's hard to predict where things are going. Rosenfeld says the most likely path he sees to ending the strike is that the company waits a bit longer, then offers up another similar contract with a few terms shuffled around. He says he thinks it's likely that it would pass, but by a very narrow margin, and this would likely negatively affect the mindset and morale of the workers when they do return to work, and would have an impact on the union's strategy during the next contract negotiations. Kerwicki told me Boeing leadership should consider how these strike negotiations could be used as a recruiting tool. He says there's already a shortage of aerospace workers, and if the company listens to the union's demands, it could attract more people to work for Boeing.
That's St. Louis Public Radio's Olivia Mizell. Olivia, thanks so much for this update.
Thank you.
Olivia was speaking there with STLPR's Brian Moline. Our Fred Ehrlich edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.